You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
Jane Finch, community. His ministry office is situated in a small public housing community called Fir Grove, and his role there has been to provide community development support and pastoral care and advocacy through coalitions and networks. And he has won a couple of awards that I want to share with you, and then I'll turn it over to him. But in 2006, he received an award at City Hall for outstanding achievement in the area of social justice. And in 2009, he received an honorary doctorate degree for his work in this community. So we are pleased and honored to have Barry, and turning over to him to welcome Andrea. So thank you, Barry. Welcome.
A little bit shorter here. About 5 years ago, Andrea Tabner came into my office. She had been sent by Stephanie Payne, one of the school trustees, and Stephanie said that I think that Barry can end up help you. She was interested in doing a unity barbecue in the Jane Finch community to bring. There's a division in Jane and Finch, north and south of Finch, between the Bloods and the Cribs, and. Andrea had been tired of going to funerals in the community. She had some friends of hers that are doing some time in Kingston, and she wanted to make a change in the community and bringing the community together, united in a barbecue to end gun violence. She's a spoken word artist, and she had at that point in time written one of her spoken word pieces called Guns, and so I wrote a letter for her so that she could go around to different stores to get donations for the first Unity Barbecue. I wasn't able to attend that event. It was a little kind of blocko and great, kind of gathering. And then I saw Andrea at Iron's funeral, and I said to her, so Andrea, what's the plans for the next barbecue, and that in some ways kind of twigged her to look at this not being a one-time event but an ongoing event. And you'll hear a little bit more about it, we've just finished our fifth annual Unity Barbecue in the Jane Finch community, which was a great success. But when Karen had asked me Greta asked me to see if I last spring if I could come out and speak to West Hill, and it's a real honor to end up do that, because I think I've got a real passion for progressive Christianity, and you guys are doing a bang up job, so hats off to you. But one of the things that Karen had suggested is that I send to her a couple readings that inspired me. And at first I was thinking, well, there's the Micah passage and there's some passages in Isaiah. But what twigged me about being inspired is that each year Andrea does a spoken word piece that she puts on the flyer for the Unity Barbecue. And this year it was called Inspiration. So I said, you know what, why don't I get Andrea to come, and she's going to do two spoken word pieces. So she's going to start off with the inspiration, and then later during the kind of reflection time, she's going to be doing another. I'm going to welcome Andrea to the mic here, and she can do inspiration. One other thing I need to let you know is that this year Andrea was nominated for Best Spoken Word at the Black Canadian Award here in Toronto, and I had the privilege of joining her for that celebration as well. Andrea.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so very much for welcoming me to West Hill United Church. I'm very, 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 very grateful for this opportunity, because most of the time when I'm in church, I'm standing up with a body beside me and I'm reading my poem. So I'm telling you that this is very inspirational for me to be here to say, okay, there's nobody here, but there's people here inspiring me to say, move forward and do what I have to do. And Barry Reed over here, he's one of my biggest inspiration away from my spiritual inspiration. I'm an upcoming poet. I haven't reached the stage as everybody else has, but I've been a poet for 10 years, but I never believed in myself for about 6 or 7, because I used to write my poems and just put them underneath the bed like, who wrote this? But meeting Barry Reeder and helping me to elevate myself to a different level, I thank him very much for the inspiration that he's given me to inspire myself. So this poem is called Inspiration, and I was inspired to write it. The inspiration that you feel does not come from college. It's the meditation to the brain, inspired by your knowledge. You will see darkness that has turned to light. You will hear a soft voice with no one in sight. You're the cure for my emotions. You are one of a kind. No one will ever hear you unless they elevate their minds. I'm glad to have met you. You have set my mind free. I've learned to believe in myself. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you so very much.
So the Jane Finch Community Ministry has been a presbytery ministry since 1982. Was there something else that needed to happen first, Karen? Or was there a song? Or yeah. I think there was supposed to be a song beforehand. Is that correct? Yeah. So, yeah, I like this Max Flex stuff, you know. It's the only way to go.
No problem.
Why don't we sing a song? I invite you to stand and join us. A friend of life.
We are the earth unto the earth. Flower and leaf and tree. Dwellers of the field and forest. The air, the sky, the sea. And there the earth unto the land, mountain and desert and plain, creatures large and creatures small, the sun, the cloud, and the rain. A friend of life, for I'm a part of life. With all that I am, I want to honor life. With what I feel needs changing, prepared.
with this Max Flex, I realized that after the reading, I was supposed to say some words. So I'm going to say those words anyways. It was wisdom for the journey. And your response is? So we're going to do that one more time because I think you know the response, right? So, from Andrea's inspiration poem, Wisdom for the Journey. Wonderful. So, as I was saying, the Jane Finch Community Ministry is a presbytery-based community ministry, and it was started in 1982, and we actually had three community ministries. We're down to two at this point in time, but it was the Toronto West Presbytery's kind of realization as we were closing some congregations in our presbytery, we realized that although that there was a need for either amalgamations or coming to the close of a congregation, it didn't mean that there still wasn't a need for ministry in our city, maybe just a different kind of ministry. And so what began to end up transpire is that initially the Jane Finch Community Ministry, the Shalom Community Ministry in Parkdale and Davenport, Perth, they were looked at as our expressions around how do we stand in solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. Those were three areas that were identified, the three most poor areas in our community. And Jane and Finch actually is second in the city as far as the largest child poverty kind of rate. So it's a ministry of presence based on the theological kind of principles of liberation theology, where we stand with the oppressed. It wasn't to create another congregation or worshiping community, but it's how do we stand with that community? And the role is to do community development, community organizing, some pastoral support, and advocacy through coalitions and networks. Because it's really important not only to deal with what you end up dealing with, but you need to begin to change the systems that are creating those kind of problems. As I said, it's largely funded by the presbytery from the surplus of church property, mission and support. We also get some support, some congregational support. And that's the base of the ministry as far as the funding. But then I double that every year through grants and through donations and through fundraising in order to do further the work. So I'm going to break for a second, and I figured instead of looking at me all the time, I'm going to show you a video that was produced by Mission and Service that gives a good kind of capsule of the ministry, and then I'm going to highlight some current perspectives and tell a couple stories.
When people think of the Jane Finch neighborhood in Toronto, they think of problems. When the church looks at the area, it sees huge potential. The Mission and Service Fund supports the Jane Finch Community Ministry in this neighborhood. Its office is in a public housing community, and the ministry works in conjunction with residents and a wide variety of networks to make a difference. This is a ministry of presence, walking in solidarity with the culturally diverse, low-income community of Jane and Finch. The ministry provides community development, pastoral care, and advocacy through coalitions and networks and a food access program called Making Connections. Although issues of poverty affect Jane and Finch, the community is blessed with cultural riches, including representation of 110 different nationalities where over 70 languages and dialects are spoken. Jane Finch Community Ministry seeks to address problems in ways that honor the strengths, assets, and riches of the community. Your Mission and Service Fund gifts support this diverse community in Toronto.
So Andrea is looking at that picture of the guy with the long hair. That was actually me at one point in time. So I actually started growing my hair long after I left seminary, and I started working with the Battered Women's Movement. And it was out of a statement of being in solidarity with abused women that I started to grow my hair. But some of my feminist friends and lesbian friends and my wife and mother and all the others were saying, I mean, God, the mullet is gone. Like, cut it, you know? So, you know, like, some of the women were saying, like, we've changed. Like, we've got short hair now. You don't need to end up have long hair. So finally, under the pressure, I decided to cut my hair as a fundraiser. And so I actually raised $4,000. And $2,000 went to the Jane Finch Community Ministry. And $2,000 went to North End Stella in Winnipeg that works with the Aboriginal community. So it was one of those walking the two paths and recognizing the struggle. And part of it was recognizing what happened to youth, First Nations youth when they went to residential school. The first thing that they did was cut the hair. And that was a really important thing for First Nations people is their hair and cutting those braids was a real atrocity. So it was in solidarity with that I contributed 2,000 to that community. Earlier we had heard that the Jane Finch community is a poor neighborhood, but I also see it as a very rich neighborhood and blessed with cultural diversity. When I first started working in Fairgrove, we did a knock-and-drop survey of 380 households, and in that community we actually identified 38 mother tongue languages. So just kind of a brief breakdown of the community, about 40% at that point in time were Caribbean, and pretty well, you know, some of the Jamaican and Trinidadian were probably the largest populations, but pretty well a sprinkling of most of the islands. And then 27% African, Ethiopian, Somalian, and Ghanaian in that order. And then about 9% people of European descent, like myself, about 9% Spanish-speaking from Latin America, 8% Southeast Asian, and the rest a splashing of the globe. The larger Jane Finch community, as we've been we heard earlier, was over 100 different nationalities and about 70 different languages and dialects spoken. So it's wonderful to work within that diverse community, and there's some great, wonderful people there. A lot of times, you as outsiders only hear about the negative things. There's good things that happen, and we do try to get the press to come to that. But usually they don't show up, which is really unfortunate. Just a little bit of an overview of some of the programs and initiatives that we do. We've got a monthly food day. Each year we have an income tax clinic that's done by the Chartered Accountants Association volunteers. We have a festive season celebration, which we honor not only Christmas, but Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and also celebrate and provide small gifts at the time of Eid. We provide a lot of information and referral. And the big thing is not so much programs, but around community development and community organizing, provide some pastoral support and advocacy through coalitions and networks. The current networks that I'm part of, part of a Black Creek Community Collaborative, and out of that we've developed a micro-lending program in conjunction with Access Community Capital Fund, where we provide loans of up to $5,000 for people that have a good business idea but can't get credit from the bank. Been part of a financial literacy network called BC FAN, Black Creek Financial Action Network, part of a Neighborhood Action Youth Employment Committee, which we provide training for youth around employment opportunities. this last year have been part of a group called Experience Black Creek, and that group has a tag called Shop, Eat, and Discover Black Creek. Black Creek is the larger kind of Jane Finch community. So just geographically, so people know, the larger Jane Finch community runs from about Steeles all the way down to the 401, and then the 400 and over to Keele. And it's about 70,000 to 80,000 people in that larger community. But Jane and Finch, sometimes people at Jane and Shepherd don't like to attribute themselves to Jane and Finch, and Jane and Wilson, the same thing. So the larger area we call Black Creek. I'm part of a crisis response network in the community, part of a Jane Finch Church Coalition, and just recently with Andrea have been part of an initiative called Jane Finch Community and Economic Initiative, which is looking at around how we can kind of capitalize on the Pan Am Games and bring some economic kind of stability into the community. I'm also engaged, with various different kind of church life. So on the National Reference Committee for Community-Based Ministries, on the Coordinating Council of our Presbytery, used to be on a committee called Congregational Renewal and Community Development, because really, in order for congregations to continue, they need to look out and be engaged in their community. If you're not doing that, you're going to end up dying. I'm going to give an example of just how I kind of do the work. A few years back, Lorraine Anderson was a resident in the community, and she was sitting on one of the subcommittees of the Black Creek Community Collaborative, which I chaired, which was the economic working group. And at that meeting, she met Sharon Simpson from Labor Community Services, and she said to Sharon, Sharon, is there any way that one of the unions can contribute some money for some backpacks? And so near the beginning of August, Lorraine comes to me and she said, good news. Sharon has said that one of the unions is willing to provide $1,000 for backpacks and for school supplies for the children in the beginning of the year. And I said, that's great, but I'm going on holidays for 3 weeks and there's not much I can end up do. So why don't I cut a check to the Firgrove Tenants Association. I'll add another $400 for my budget. So I left on holidays and gave them $1,400. And they had grown that pot of funds to $3,000. And they had went out and bought 165 backpacks and the supplies for it, came back, with taxis and stuffed all those bags. And so I came back and, patting them on the back as far as, Lorraine and Marianne and some of the other volunteers. And like somebody said, I guess really, Barry, they don't need you in the community anymore. And that's part of it. If I can work myself out of a job, that would be the thing to do. And in patting Marianne on the back, Marianne said, no, I don't want to stop there. She said, I always had this idea of starting this scholarship fund. And at that point in time, she was on social assistance. And what she had planned on doing was taking $20 a month from her social assistance check, putting that aside so that she could create a scholarship, not for her son, but a scholarship for somebody else in the community. So I said, well, why don't we talk with the Painters Union? Because the Painters Union that provided this was looking at doing not just a one-off. And that's one of my frustrations and pet peeves around a lot of the funders and these projects is that they'll do something for a year for this community for a pilot project, and then they'll go to another community, and it doesn't create kind of stability. But the Painters Union, they said, we're going to journey with the community of Firgrove. And so what they agreed to end up doing was the next year provide 500 backpacks filled with school supplies and also four $1,000 scholarships and $400 for the women's group so that they could provide childcare and refreshments each month that they met. Well, that program has continued on, and we actually, for the last several years, have been providing 1,000 backpacks filled with school supplies and up to 8 $1,000 scholarships. And it doesn't cost the community ministry a penny. The Painters Union actually does all the fundraising for it. They hit up all of their locals, and they hit up companies that are part of the union, they raised about $40,000 for this. And the material gets delivered to us, and this year we had 35 volunteers. I think the age of 4 was the youngest volunteer up until 90, but 35 of them were putting all these backpacks together, and then we celebrated at the beginning of September with a back-to-school barbecue in which we provided the scholarships. So that's just a little kind of example of how I work. It's really to empower and work with the community and be the support. And that brings me to Unity, and I'm going to bring Andrea up here, and we're going to talk a little bit about Unity. Yes. So, hi. So, Andrea, the first Unity happened, 5 years ago, was it?
It actually happened August the 28th, 2010.
Yeah. So, Andrea, why don't you, and we're going to show a clip of a video about 2013, but before we get that, Andrea, just tell us a little bit about what happens at the Unity Barbecue, who's there, who comes, and what the main purpose of the event is.
Okay, well, Jane and Finch Unity Barbecue was created because I've been in Jane and Finch for the past 35 years, so I share a lot of pain, a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, a lot of sorrows with the community. So instead of, there's two different sides to Jane and Finch. You have one side that says they're Bloods, which represents the red, and you have another side that says they're blue, which represents the Cribs. I grew up with both sides because to me, you guys are family. I don't see no colors with both of you. So with the Unity Barbecue, the idea was created because I'm tired of the splitting of communities. I'm tired of the arguing and the violence and the deaths, because everybody that's involved, when it comes down to it, we're all going to be crying together. So I decided to do the Unity event, which started August 28th, 2010. And when I first started that event, the idea came up August the 2nd, so I had only about 2.5 weeks to create this idea. And it was created with a lot of ups and downs, because the first time I did it, I didn't know that I needed certain different permission forms in order to do what I was doing. So I had the fire truck. I had the fire truck come in to the event, and when the fire truck came in, majority of the people at the event thought that the community was on fire, because they didn't understand. They didn't understand that the fire truck was coming for the event, because this was just a surprise that we don't have these stuff at a barbecue. So I just wanted to go a little bit more involvement of the community, not just the community, but other higher officials. Okay, so I got the fire truck to come in, and when the fire truck came in, the security guard said to me, I'm going to open the gate for you, because the fire truck is here and what you're doing is wonderful, but next year you got to organize it more different. So that was one trial and thing that I went through. The police officers were there. I did speak with the police officers, but it wasn't really a meeting like I'm used to now, and organizing it more differently. It was just, okay, I'm going to be doing something. Can you pass through? So basically it was just trial and errors that... Actually, the second year was a little bit more organized because I had the okay to do what I was doing. And the crowd was about 200 to 300 people on the second year. The third year now was over 500 people on the third year. It was wonderful. There was dancing. We had the old yellow cruiser, because now we're more organized. So when I go in police meetings, I told them, this is what I want. I'd like to have the old yellow cruiser to remind the community of where we're coming from. Not the white cruiser. We know about the yellow ones chasing everybody. We want to show them, this is the yellow one. Let our little young ones know, this is the back in the days cruiser. So we had the yellow cruiser and the mounted police horses. They're there every year, so they're part of the team now. The mounted police horses are there, and The fire truck comes every year, and we also had the bicycle police officers and the ones that ride the bikes, so they could show the bikes and stuff. There was no dogs, though, because I'm scared of dogs, so... So everything was so wonderful the third year. We had dancing, we had children performing. Everybody was living in unity at that event. It was a beautiful and successful event.
I'm going to stop her right there because that kind of gives segue to 2013.
2014. 2012 is what was the success. 2013
right.
was the four deaths.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to get to in a second. So 2013, in February, I was out visiting my parents, celebrating my father's 80th birthday, and out there for a surprise for him, and got a phone call at about 4 o'clock in the morning out in Calgary, and... it was Anne Marie that actually had called me, and she said, Tubby's been shot. Tubby was this kid that was just had this smile that would light up a room. Sweet, sweet kid. And a few minutes after that, I think I got a call from Andrea, so I knew what the situation... Actually, no, then I got a call from Lorraine, and Lorraine was so distraught that she couldn't even speak. And so there I am, thousands of miles away, and how do I support this person? So right away got on the phone to the email to Crisis Response Network and got them to kind of begin mobilizing, and then got a phone call from Andrea. And I asked Andrea, said, how are you? And all she could say is, you know I'm not okay. You know I'm not okay. So I was coming back, and I came back. Luckily, the flight got in on the, I think it was on the Wednesday, and dropped my bags and came to the community. And there was a vigil that was taking place. And it started at the Learning Center and then moved through a candle vigil and then moved through the community. And by the end of it, the final meeting spot, we had about 400 people with lit candles marching through the community. It was a really unfortunate accident, this death. Him and his friend were fooling around with a gun. And I always need to tell people this. When you put a clip in and pull the clip out, there's always one lodged in the chamber. And they didn't realize that. And so they were fooling around with it, and his best friend actually shot him. So a real tragedy for the community. Since 2005, there had been a decrease in the violence, and so we felt that it was, like we had been making a difference. You know, some of the things that Andrew had been doing and some of the other initiatives, creating youth employment, that we had been making a change in the community, and we had. And so... So we thought this was just an anomaly. And then I was on sabbatical in 2013, and Taj, one of the 15-year-old youth in my community, was shot just outside at the plaza. And rumor is that somebody from Brampton was actually gunning for his brother, but mistaken him. Taj, again, a really sweet, innocent kid that was mistaken for somebody else. At 15, yeah, he was 15 at the time. And he survived in the hospital for almost, I think it was about 17 days, I think it was, before he finally lost his life. And because I was coming back from a sabbatical with the Crisis Response Network, I basically jumped up and said, I'll take lead role with this family, providing the support and also whatever they're wanting for community vigils or community events. I'll take the lead role with that. And then on the day of his viewing, two other youth in the Yorkwoods community, the social housing community, Kitty Corner to Fir Grove, were shot. And these were, again, two youth that were great kids. They were, not involved in a life of crime at all, but were had just finished working for the summer, chilling in the backyard, and somebody came looking for somebody else, couldn't find them, that person, and shot these two kids instead. And Andrew is so connected to the community in many different ways. I couldn't do the work that she does, but can support her in that. But even before I had heard from the Crisis Response Network about the two deaths, I get a call from Andrea saying that Kwame had been shot. And I said, well, let me verify that. And it took a couple hours before I could even verify with the police and with the Crisis Response Network that, yes, it was true. Anyways, those deaths happened on with Kwame and O'Shea on the Friday before we were supposed to do the Unity Barbecue on the Sunday. And Andrea said to me, she said, do you think we should still do it? And I said, if there's ever a need for a Unity Barbecue, well, they're trying to line that up. I'll give you a couple highlights of the this year's Unity Barbecue. This year's Unity Barbecue, we actually had 800 to 900 people. One of the persons that was doing the cooking for that, he thinks that there was at least 1,000, but we think it's because a couple kids went through a couple times to get the food. So, but anyways, it was a huge crowd. The police are just amazed that we bring rival gangs together and not one negative incident occurs. These are people that are under surveillance, and the police are, they're scratching their heads around how Andrea can do this. But it's because of her credibility in the community that she's able to pull people that I, as a social worker or a community minister, would never be able to pull together. And it was incredible things that end up happened at that event. We actually had two rival former rival gang members up on the stage rapping together about unity. Really the impact that Andrea is trying to do to bring that community together is really end up happening. And the food was incredible. It wasn't just, hamburgers and hot dogs. It was, the whole nine yards, with fried fish and, jerk chicken and barbecued chicken and shrimp, shish kebabs with shrimp and chicken and fruit. The fruit platters they went like there was, I think, about how many fruit platters were there?
Eight fruit platters,
and they went like crazy. We had jumpy castles for the kids, which cost $350 for the day because the insurance company wanted that. But other than that, it was a great time. And again, the fire truck and all those other events, and great event. There was your granddaughter did a poem. Why don't you share just a little highlight of that poem that she shared?
The
ABC.
My granddaughter, I was babysitting, and I said, okay, we're going to do something that's not boring, something that's fun. So she said, what? So I decided to do an ABC poem with her. Well, it turned out to be a poem that I never thought it was going to turn this way. So I would say to her, give me an A. She would say, A. I go, give me a B. She would say, B. And then I say, I'm going to tell you what alphabet means to me. But I just say, I go A, B, C, D, K, L, F, G, and I go wrong. So then my granddaughter of 6 years old goes, no, you're doing it wrong. I'm going to say it. So this is how she would say. She would go, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Graduation is for me. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Pieces that this world needs. QRSTUV. No more violence in the city.
When she did that, the crowd erupted. Yeah, so, so very much. Are you able to cue the video? Is the video going to work for you? Okay, so this was a video of the news did come out because of the crime that had ended up happening. But this is the, I think... Oh, yeah, 1 minute to get past the ads. So, yeah. So, again, this was a real highlight. The 2013 was a little different. It wasn't really a celebration because of the death that had occurred, and numbers were a little bit lower for that. But as you see, we did have a candle vigil and then.
Left reeling by gun violence is mourning lives lost tonight. Tracy Tong is live at Jane and Finch, where residents took a stand against the bloodshed. Tracy?
Well, Pam, I'm at the Fir Grove Community Housing Complex where a vigil has just wrapped up. Now, earlier tonight, those who gathered here said that they were tired of the violence and tired of having to hold vigils for their young people, the most recent three teenage boys killed in shootings.
One, two, three.
A deafening silence filled the air at the Fir Grove Community Housing Complex. Every flame is dedicated to those who have fallen victim to gun violence.
For all the lives that we lost in June,
mourning and coming together and just having those last few moments to say a final fight with them.
More than a week ago, 15-year-old Taj Lou Walters died after he was shot at York Woods Plaza. Then the double shooting Friday at York Woods Village that killed teens O'Shea Doyles White and Kwame Dwodu. Residents here say the violence hurts the entire community.
It's kind of like a wound that's already open and it's hurt to open more.
I was very shocked, devastated. Tears came to my eyes. It was really, really hard.
The community is mourning, but some are also on edge as three suspects are still on the loose after Friday's shooting at York Woods Village. Toronto Community Housing says they turned over surveillance footage to police, but some of their 69 cameras weren't working that day. The community wants answers and change.
We want to take back this community and make it safe.
Some believe they can make that happen if they unite. That's why hundreds gathered today at a barbecue to lift spirits at a hard time.
Just the other day, it was our crew, one of our crews from our station that responded to that double shooting. And it's tough, you know. We look upon these people as our neighbors, and it makes us sad, too.
It is very sad, but at the same time, we can't be sad for the whole time. We have to smile. The kids that we lost are now in a better place.
The candles continued burning for about an hour, not just for those who died in the last few weeks, but for all victims of gun violence in the area. Over the last 6 months, five teenage boys have been shot, four of them fatally, in the Jane and Finch block. Here at the Fir Grove Community Housing Complex, I'm Tracy Tong.
So that's probably a little bit difficult. The picture was a little bit dark, so we tried to, actually, you could probably keep the strobes off because we're going to show another picture later, and it might be a little easier with the spotlights. Everybody can see me anyways, right? Yeah. So that event, we did the candle vigil, and it was incredible. The moment of silence, I think, was about 5 minutes. You could have heard a pin drop. And some of the youth were continuing to hold those candles for about an hour. And then all of a sudden, it poured. Not just sprinkled, but the clouds opened up and it just poured. And so 350 people just all of a sudden, except for the organizers, quickly dispersed. And Andrea and I were sitting in under one of the other parking garages and we were talking. And I think, Andrea, you said it was, it's like God had enough and had to cry. So it was really fitting of how that event ended. Part of the healing has continued. One of the boys, Taj, was the first killed in the summer. His grandparent worked for Bombardier, and they were connected with the old CAW union, which is now called Unifor. And so they decided to do a fundraiser for Taj and for the family. And initially it was to provide money for a tombstone, but the union said, we'll cover that cost. Don't worry about that. And so the money that we began raising under the fundraiser was to look at providing financial resources so that we could do programming in the community for youth who were falling through the cracks. And we raised about $17,000 throughout the year. And this group, every time we meet, and the group is, you know, the family, both sides of the family, as well as some politicians, the union, retired our school principal that actually has left teaching because he couldn't deal with, in 10 years of his teaching, he lost 11 students. And he's wanting to make a difference and change, and so he started up a foundation now. So he's at the table, some community workers, Toronto Community Housing Company, as well as some youth, and a variety of different initiatives that we've been looking at. But each time that the group meets, we light four candles in honor of St. Aubyn, which was Tubby, Taj, which is Skinny, Kwame, and O'Shea. We light four candles, and just to keep their memory alive and that we're going to make a difference. So one of the things that started happening in the community is that there was some graffiti, some tributes to their friends, to Tubby and to Skinny, that were going up on some of the buildings in Toronto Community Housing Company. And as soon as they would come up, a few days later, Toronto Community Housing Company would whitewash them over. And then a few days later, the tributes would come up again, the graffiti. And this kept on going. So I started talking with some of the guys saying, what about if we do a mural? The mural is titled Jane Finch Refined 2 or something like that. I think that's the photo on that. And it's on the first one there. So what happened with the process with the mural is that we... had two of the mothers that were at the table and some of the youth. And initially I had looked at the mural going to be in the middle of the community, and instead the youth said, no, Barry, we want it on your wall. So this mural is 16 feet wide, 8 feet tall, and it's on the community ministry that we came up with. Initially the artist had talked about two eyes, and then with a big teardrop coming from the eyes, and then in the middle of the eye you would see the reflection of a kind of a scene, a violent scene taking place. And one of the mothers said that was just too dark. So in talking with the youth, saying, okay, what do you have in common? And of course basketball was one of the things that came to them. And so this basketball player is doing a slam dunk of the sun. And then if you notice, as far as those little doves, and each of those doves are carrying a ribbon, and on those ribbon is a name of one of the youth that has lost their lives. So one of the things that when I started this process, I thought there was about six, and we actually did the mural and had 10, and then found out that we'd actually forgotten two youth. So we've had to redo the mural, and there's 12 youth named in this that have lost their lives to violence, either in the community or outside the community, but they're from the community called Connections. It's Fir Grove is called Connections, and the number 15 symbolizes for the youth, the four 15-year-olds that were shot in Jane Finch in 2013. It's been an incredible healing, this mural, the process around it. I have some of the guys that will come, and they will each day religiously come and kiss one of the doves because it's their brother that was lost. And not all of the youth were involved in, violence. Many of them were innocent victims that had lost their lives. One of the days after the mural was up, I was going to get something out of my car, and there was a little boy that was sitting on on the steps of the community ministry, and he was working on a freezie, and so I said to him, I said, can I get you some scissors to open that up? And he says, no, somebody's gone into the learning center to do that. And so then I continued to go into my car, and then he got up and he said, that's my mom's name out there. Natalie Berger, she died in a fire 5 years ago, and initially it had been ruled as far as an accidental death, and then last spring it had been ruled a homicide. So I went to my car, had a good cry, and came back, composed myself a little bit, and so I asked him, I said, so what does it mean to you to have, or what do you think about your mom's name on a dove? And he's still working on the freezie, and all he could do is give me one of these. And it was just priceless. He was two when his mother lost her life. So I just wanted to thank Andrea. Andrea, do you have any comments about the mural? And then we'll finish up.
Yeah. The mural that was done, thanks to Barry Reeder and residents of the Jane Finch community, along with the moms that lost their loved ones, that mural was one of the most important pieces that has been in Jane and Finch right now, because it's a piece that helps to heal a lot of people that does not know how to heal amongst crowd. They can heal by themselves. And with that mural standing there for everyone to see, it just captures our heart to know that we just walk over there for the purpose of walking over there, just to remember there's a friend on there, there's a brother, there's a sister on there. But every dove that's on there, the community knows each and every person on there. So it's a community that not only one or two names, there's 12 names that we have to try to heal together. Thank you, Barry Reeder.
So you're not done, Andrea. I forgot the most important thing. When we did the mural unveiling, 2 days before the mural unveiling, I think I had asked Andrea, is there a spoken word piece that you could do at the unveiling? And so she actually, that night, was inspired and wrote a piece called Journey. And the group that has gotten together, we've used the letters of Taj's name, Towards a Higher Journey, so that bottom ribbon there says Towards a Higher Journey. And so Andrea wrote a piece called Journey.
This poem is dedicated to everyone that has lost a loved one. And the reason why I wrote this poem, I had some questions that I needed answers to, and I just started asking questions, and this is the answers that I came up with. It's called Journey. Where are you going? To climb the holy mountain. Where are you going? To drink from the spiritual fountain. Where are you going? To cross the open sea. Where are you going? To a place I can be free. Where are you going? To hear the trumpet sound. Where are you going? To watch people dance around. Where are you going? To stand in a line. Where are you going? To meet the most divine. Where are you going? To eat bread and honey. Where are you going? Towards a higher journey. Thank you very much.
Uh, So that actually ends the reflection time, but I've got some questions for you. And also, I know you just do some stuff online, so there was a video, actually, of the mural unveiling that maybe what we could send to you, and then with your community that you could share it with other stuff. So, and with that, the journey poem is part of that video. But just a couple questions to you as a community. I think one of the things too important to recognize is why are these deaths end up happening? In 2005, the year of the gun violence, where 50 black male youth lost their lives. And it wasn't until a white woman, and it's an unfortunate tragedy, but a white woman on Yonge Street that was shot, that all of a sudden it became an issue for the city of Toronto and for our province. And so I think there's some questions there that we need to end up ask. But in the Toronto Star, they had an article from the Toronto Community Foundation, and they said, we're not surprised that this has ended up happening. Because although unemployment rates in 2005 were the lowest that they had been in Canada, youth unemployment rate was 17%. But for black male youth between the ages of 16 and 29, it was double that. So for every black male youth, for every three black male youth in my community at that point in time, one of them couldn't get a job, not because of their inability or lack of education, but was because of the color of their skin. Last year, youth unemployment rates in Toronto was 25%. And so if that same scenario of systemic racism is still playing out in our community, that means for every two black male youth in my community, one can't get a job because of his inability. So I really urge you to push forward as far as advocating for the supports that are needed, that we look at as far as increasing employment for youth in our GTA area. The other thing, too, is that how are you engaged in your community? I know in Scarborough there's the Malvern community. We actually took a wrong turn and went down by Galloway and Kingston and Galloway. We met a man through the mural unveiling that was from the dancing community, where 27 people were ended up shot at a barbecue. And he was telling us that, you know, like somebody died in his arms. So is there a way for you to get engaged? I think the other is advocating, and I'll advocate for, West Hill as far as leading the torch around progressive Christianity, but if you could also lead the torch in regards to community-based ministry. We need to end up looking at as far as not just congregational renewal and congregational development, but new forms of ministry we're in the community. I've got about 4 years of funding left because the pot of funds that we did have to sustain the two community ministries was actually in our restructuring from 9 presbyteries into 4 presbyteries. That $4 million was actually shared with the other presbyteries. So some of the money that that we did have for our sustainability has gone. We're trying to build up the pot of funds again from surplus church property, but we're also running into the issue of some of those other presbyteries. They're saying, why is Toronto West holding on to their money? Like, that should be shared equally 4 ways. And so that really diminishes our ability to continue in the community. If you're able to make a financial contribution to the community ministry, that would be great. I understand that there's some baskets out there, and I said to Andrea that we'll split the pot, so half will go to the community ministry and half will go to support Unity Barbecue next year. Leaving you with one more thing, and my apologies if I've spoken too long, but there's so much to have shared. I'll leave you one thing that I've learned from Andrea. I was having a really bad day one day, and she knew about it, and texted me, bless up yourself. And that has stuck with me, and so as a gift that Andrea shared with me, and I share with you, bless up yourself.